The scripture reading this morning comes from Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in gleaming clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why are you seeking the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise from the dead." And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now these women were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James. Also the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. But these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe the women. Nevertheless, Peter got up and ran to the tomb. And when he stooped and looked in, he saw the linen wrappings only, and he went away to his home, marveling at what had happened. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
It was about 40 years ago. I was in seminary, and with the rest of the students, I was taking a New Testament course required. One day, the professor told the class that he did not believe in Christ's body resurrection because, he said, science cannot prove it. Whoa, I doubted my ears. A seminary professor who doesn't believe in Christ's resurrection? I thought to myself. Then, why is he here? Why am I here? That's the thought that I had. Since then, I lost my interest in the New Testament studies because of that one single incident. So I ended up majoring in the Old Testament studies instead. Anyway, some folks today take the same stance on the resurrection as the professor. Others may love the idea of spiritual resurrection, but still deny the actual physical resurrection of Christ, let alone their own. This morning I'm going to talk about resurrection, more specifically Christ's physical body resurrection. By the way, we cannot talk about resurrection without death, can we? Who needs resurrection when no one dies, right? In fact, death often, if not always, makes us wonder what's next after our physical death. My first encounter with death was through my own father. In the summer of 1968, my father was 59 years old. He was hit and killed by an American military truck in Korea. He was gone in 3 days. When I first heard the news of his death, I did not cry. Just the numbness and a few drops of tears that my father was gone and would no longer be with me. We had a wake at our house, and visitors came to pay their respects by burning the incense to my deceased father. The next day, they buried my dad at a sunny place on a mountain. I was not allowed to go because I was too young to attend the funeral. 6 months later, my family took me to my father's grave. It was winter time, and we walked a couple of miles in the snow to get to the grave. In my young mind, I still didn't understand what death meant. Death appeared to be a series of events such as physical separation, funeral, and graveside visit. All these memories still linger in me like a summer haze, foggy, distant, dull, yet very sad. In the following years, I witnessed more death. A friend of mine in middle school died 2 years later, and then my aunt. All these deaths created a yearning in my heart. I wanted to see them again. Even though I was not a Christian in those years, I was hoping for something beyond our physical death. Death shouldn't be the final. The Bible calls such a longing in the heart the hope of resurrection. In fact, God's word says that on the day of judgment, everyone will come back to life, that is resurrection, in the presence of God, and each one of us will give an account for everything we've done in our earthly lives. After that, Christ the judge will decide each one's eternal destiny and destination. The righteous will enter into eternal life and the wicked into eternal punishment. The good news is that Christ Jesus was the first fruit of the resurrection. 2,000 years ago, on that early Easter morning, the women who visited the tomb saw the risen Lord. We call this historical event the first Easter. This morning I'd like to share with you my thoughts and beliefs on resurrection. When it comes down to proclaiming and believing in Jesus' body resurrection, God provides no other means but his angels, means messengers, and human witnesses. No photos, no videos, no sound recording, no scientific proof. Not that God cannot, but he chooses not to be explained later on. But in other words, neither God nor his church offers any other proofs than the accounts of 500 plus people who personally saw the risen Christ with their eyes. And some of them were blessed to touch Jesus' resurrected body with their own hands. For the next 2,000 years, the accounts of these witnesses proved sufficient for the countless believers, myself included, to believe in the resurrection of Jesus. And for many years, including the skeptics, however, that has not been the case. Now, to such skeptics, C.S. Lewis, a brilliant theologian in the 20th century, he has a word. He asserts that the biblical accounts of Jesus' resurrection are sufficient to believe. He explains that we Christians believe in the resurrection of Jesus solely based on the words of witnesses, those 500 witnesses of Jesus' resurrection. Lewis takes his own example of believing in the existence of New York City. As an Englishman, he says, he's never been to the city to see it with his own eyes. However, the accounts of those folks who had been there are good enough for him to believe in its existence, because he believes in the integrity of those folks who tell him the truth. In the same way, we Christians believe in the resurrection of Jesus the Christ, not because we have a scientific proof, but because we believe in the integrity of those witnesses of Christ's resurrection. Furthermore, the accounts of these witnesses have been attested through their own lives. That means all of them gave up their lives for the truth of the resurrection. Their accounts still stand strong as the only reliable proof of Jesus' resurrection. So think about it, folks. If the Almighty God chooses to make everyone believe in him and in his existence, he can convince them easily. He can send out lightning and thunder at 12 noon on the dot every day for 30 days in a row. then everyone will believe in God, right? Yet he never does such a thing. He chooses not to because he is the God of love. Love, by nature, never forces anyone to do anything they don't want to. God would never force anyone to believe in him against their own wish or will. In other words, God would honor our free will to choose whatever we wish, either we believe or we reject. Even the very existence of God, it is all up to us. God never overrides our free will. The same principle of love and free will applies to the beliefs in the miracles. Whether or not we believe in the miracles of Jesus, such as the virgin birth, healing and walking on water, and turning water into wine, and feeding over 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, his suffering and death on the cross, his resurrection and his ascension to heaven, God leaves all of this entirely up to us. He simply presents his case, not through scientific proof, but through the accounts of witnesses, and leaves the decision to us. In fact, he's been that way from the very beginning of the creation. He used the oral accounts to proclaim the truth. Even in the 21st century, he still does so for Jesus' resurrection. He simply urges you and me this morning to decide for ourselves whether or not to believe the accounts of the women who first witnessed Jesus' resurrection. As for me, many years ago, I made up my mind to believe in their accounts because I do believe in their integrity. Furthermore, I believe in what the Bible says because its truth has been attested withstanding centuries of fiery trials, often sealed with the blood of the martyrs. Most of all, I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and mine because I do believe in his integrity, who is the resurrection, the life, and the way, and the truth. Jesus never tells us a lie. Now, if you're one of the seekers out there, I have good news for you. God is very kind and understanding of your doubts. Here in today's text, we see the slowness of heart among Christ's own disciples to whom Jesus demonstrated his patience. Now please reason with me here. If the three women had truly believed in Jesus' body resurrection, why did they go to the tomb with the spices? The spices were used for the dead body, not for the living one. Therefore, they would not have needed them for the resurrected body, would they? In other words, at first, these women believed that Jesus was dead. They forgot the words of Jesus about his own resurrection. But to such forgetful souls, Jesus graciously showed his resurrected body. It's the clear evidence of God's grace and patience in dealing with a stubborn and slow heart to believe the unbelievable. Later, Jesus demonstrated the same grace and patience to his unbelieving disciples, including the famous doubting Thomas. You heard of his name before. Each time they were in doubt, instead of rebuking them for their lack of faith, Jesus showed them one by one his resurrected body. So I'm speaking to some of you who are still skeptical about Jesus' body resurrection, let alone your own. I'm sure all of you demand the tangible scientific proof of the resurrection. Some of you would even call the resurrection either a myth or wishful thinking. Whatever your reasons for unbelief, I pray that the same Jesus would extend the same patience and grace to you. And may the Lord either grant you the proof you're looking for or increase your faith to believe. One warning, though. If Jesus ever grants anyone the proof of resurrection, he does so only to those who genuinely seek him. He would never grant the proof to those who are not sincere in their search for truth, because he never plays by their rules. If you're one of those sincere seekers, the Lord will speak to your heart this morning so that you may come to know Him and believe in the resurrection and eventually claim your own resurrection through faith in Jesus Christ. Let me take you back to today's story. The angels here, you know, translated as two men, said to the women, "Why are you seeking the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen." Christ was the first fruit of the resurrection, and all of us will follow him someday. Christ is risen. Do not seek him among the dead. He is risen indeed, and so will we. The same risen Christ will grant us our own resurrection in Christ. Let us bow our heads and pray.